Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is. Oh, that is just not going to work at all. Oh, never accept a dare from Mark Walsh. Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is Leslie Kaminoff, and you may know me as the co-author of the international bestseller, Yoga Anatomy. But I'm also the co-founder of yogaanatomy.net. Now, that's a platform we built 11 years ago where we offer online courses and in-depth anatomy modules that support teachers, teacher trainings, and students all over the world. So that's why we are thrilled to be sponsoring all the incredible sessions here on the Yoga Channel, including my own. And if you feel a connection with the way I teach, I have some great news for you. We are extending scholarships to all members of the Embodiment Conference. And you can find that scholarship info and links to yogaanatomy.net in the description for this presentation and in the show notes. In the meantime, enjoy your body, enjoy your breath, and enjoy your conference. And I'll see you online.
Good. Now it's with great pleasure that I'm going to introduce you to James. James Bay is a specialist of traditional Asian medicine. He is also an author and educator of yoga, contemplative medicine, and the healing arts. James is a director of Bay Acupuncture, a long-standing private practice and community wellness clinic in Brooklyn, New York, and the director of Contemplative Healing, formerly Samaya Education, dedicated to the preservation of Indo-Tibetan yoga and a research initiative exploring culture and religion in Asian medicine. In today's session, Dr. James Bay will provide an overview and instruction of mind, body, and Tibetan yoga practices for self-healing. Meditation, breath practices, mantra, and self-healing yoga, often taught by traditional physicians, will be explored from the lens of trauma, neuroscience, and Asian medicine. I am so extremely excited about this session. So it's with much enthusiasm that I give the word to you, James. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. So before we begin, because it's earlier where I am, I thought we would begin at the end of the presentation, which is around practice. So if any of you, I invite you to join us in the room, and if you'd like to share your video, that way I can see how you are learning these practices. And what I'll be presenting is a modified version of a physical or somatic practice in Tibetan yoga, often taught by physicians to their clients or patients, and which can be safely practiced by children, seniors, and most health conditions. So let's give us a moment. I'm wondering if I know anyone here, but please feel free to join us in the room. Hi, Aino. So I'm going to start with a screen share. And as I do, please take time and settle in. These body, mind, and energy practicum will be explored through a framework I'll introduce later in the talk. So for now, to begin, take a comfortable seat. And if you're seated in a chair, feel free to get a cushion to raise your seat above the knees. We want the spine upright. Can everyone see this slide that says channel purification? Wonderful. So the methods that we'll share first will not be in a trauma-informed lens. We may revisit them at the end of the presentation, and I'll give you some modifications. So with the screen, this is an image of the subtle body, a very basic image. And if you're familiar with yoga, a lot of Tibetan yoga focuses on the subtle body. And if you're familiar with visualization, what we're doing here is integrating three areas known as the body, the speech related to the breath, mantra, or the vital energy, and the mind in terms of visualization, open awareness, and also the mind's capacity towards stillness. So in this first practice, you can close your eyes if you're less familiar with visualization. If you are a Tibetan Buddhist practitioner, you may already have this skill or resource of being able to generate a visualization. Again, we're going to link the body in terms of posture and movement, breath or internal wind, cultivating this sensation, and the mind's ability here to visualize clearly. So with your eyes closed, visualize these three channels of the subtle body. In the center of the body, visualize a clear luminescent blue central channel that extends from the crown down to the floor of the pelvis. You have two channels flanking that central channel, thin red solar channel that extends from the right nostril over the crown, down the right side of the central channel, and curves in at the root, at the base of the pelvis, just four finger widths below and behind the navel. On the left side, visualize a white channel extending from the left nostril over the crown, adjacent to the central channel on the left, and curving in at the base of the pelvis. And with sensation, interoception, I'm going to step back so that you can see my body position. You can take and let me know if the sound is okay. You can cross your legs. They can be in Sukhasana, crossed in front of the shins. And take your thumbs at the base of the ring finger and curl them down. The index finger will extend and place the backs of the fists on the tops of the thighs. The spine is elongated, chest is broad, shoulders are slightly elevated, and the chin is tucked. Take the tip of the tongue just behind the teeth near the hard palate and bring the gaze slightly downward. This is called the key position of the body, which straightens the channels. Now, many of you are familiar with alternate nostril breathing. Here, we're going to guide internal sensation with external movement, and we'll discuss how to bring body, energy, and mind together. But these are the key points. So we'll do this slowly, and we'll do it twice, keeping this visualization and observing how I move my hands. I'm going to guide you to follow me as you bring your left index finger up, close the left nostril, inhaling through the right, feeling the right channel for a count of 3, 2, 1. Bring the right index finger up, exhale out the left. Inhale through the left nostril for a count of 3. Trace the flow of sensation as the breath moves through the channel. Bring the left index finger up. Exhale through the right. Bring the left hand down. Right index finger up. Close the right nostril. Inhale through the left for a count of 3, 2, 1. Left index finger up. Exhale through the right. Inhale through the right. Right. right index finger up, exhale through the left. Right hand comes down. Now breathing through both nostrils, inhale. Fill these side channels. Wonderful, and exhale through both nostrils for a count of three. We're gonna do that two more times. Left index finger up, inhale through the right. For a count of three, two, one. Right index finger up, exhale through the left. Inhale through the left nostril. Trace the flow of sensation through the channels. Wonderful. Left index finger up. Exhale through the right. Left hand comes down. Right index finger up. Inhale through the left nostril. Left index finger up, close the left nostril, exhale through the right. Inhale through the right. Follow the flow of sensation through the channels. Right index finger up, exhale, left nostril. Right hand comes down. Bringing both fingers up, inhale through both nostrils. And then exhale through both nostrils. One last time. Left index finger up, inhale through the right. Close the right nostril, exhale through the left. Inhale through the left. Left index finger up, exhale through the right. Left hand comes down. Now right index finger up, inhale through the left nostril. For a count of three, left index finger up, exhale through the right. Inhale through the right. Close the right nostril, exhale through the left. Right hand comes down. Inhale through both nostrils. For a count of four or six, slowing the breath down, filling the side channels. Exhale through both nostrils. Now, as you rest, you can turn your palms down and reacquaint yourself with the visualization of the three channels. And with each breath, I want you to find a place four finger widths below and behind the navel. And with each inhalation and exhalation, begin to fill the lower abdomen with a sensation of groundedness as you compact the winds and steady the body. So for two more cycles of the breath, find a spot four finger widths below and behind the navel as you begin to steady the mind and relax what we call the winds, prana or lung, lung in Tibetan. I'm going to move forward to another practice. So now continuing with visualization, if you are familiar with chanting and using mantra and breath practices together, the method here is coordinating breath, visualization, and the movement of the inner subtle energy. So with each inhalation, we're going to remain upright, visualize a bright white light filling the body. And as there's a pause, visualize a red sphere or the syllable ah. At that point, four fingers below and behind the navel. And with each exhalation, visualize a blue light pouring out of the nostrils out into the environment. If that's too difficult, with each inhalation, just visualize white light streaming into the body and purifying the body and the vital airs or winds. As you pause on the inhale retention, visualize just a red light or a red sphere below and behind the navel. And as you exhale, a blue light exits the body and connects with the environment. So again, take your comfortable seated position. You can close your eyes, and for seven cycles of the breath, let's inhale a stream of white light, filling the nostrils, filling the bodies. You won't need to follow my hands, just resting on the internal retention. A red light suffuses the form or takes the shape of a red sphere below and behind the navel. And with the exhalation, blue light or the mantra syllable hum exits through the nostrils and connects with the outer environment, connecting outer and inner elements. So inhale, a bright white light, perfuming the body, purifying the winds or channels, we will discuss them. With the internal hold, gentle pause, a red light or a red sphere below and behind the navel. And as you exhale and the breath slows, a blue light or a blue syllable, if you're familiar, out into the environment. Five more cycles of the breath at your own accord. Inhale, a white light or white ah transforms into a red sphere below and behind the navel. Pause and exhale a blue light. Now, if you're at home, you can internally recite white om, red ah, and blue hum. With the exhale, inhale a white om or a white light. Breath presses down, enters internal pause or retention, ah, or red sphere. Exhale, blue hum. Blue light exits the nostrils, connects with the outer environment. Three more cycles of the breath. Gently refine the visualization. Bright white light perfumes the inner body. Red ah, stable. Sharpen the visualization below and behind the navel. Exhale, blue hum. Inhale, white om. Gentle pause, red ah. If it's easier, just a screen of red, and exhale, blue hum, exiting the nostrils. Last cycle. Inhale, white om. Pause and internal retention, red R. And exhale, blue hum. So take a moment to register how you're feeling in your body. We're going to begin the next set of body practices, which I've shortened. And I'll explain these later. But the main thing that we want to engage are these principles of visualization, breath retention, familiarity with internal sensation of the subtle body, which you're training through these movements. And that's from a traditional perspective, what will encourage efficacy. So the first, I'm going to step back here. The most important for accessing these internal sensations of what we call the winds or vayus in Sanskrit, and the channels called the nadis or tsa, so we call them tsa lung in Tibetan, is this basic posture. And the basic posture is called the 7-point posture of Virochana. And you can see it's upright posture with the spine elevated and the chest broad, begin to help you access the central channel you hear so much in yoga. And now, in addition, this instruction to find this point four finger widths below and behind the navel, you may know of it as the hara, the dantien. In Hatha yoga, we call it kandasthana. This is the place for regulating the winds or the autonomic nervous system. So if we're speaking about neuroscience research and intersections with traditional Tibetan medicine or Ayurveda or yoga, we want to begin to access what is known as the medical body and the tantric body. And the subtle body is this crossroads for understanding the two in trauma healing. So let's take that posture again. Let me know if you can hear me. And we'll go through these very deceivingly simple practices. Any quick questions before we move into some body practices? No. Okay.
Well, I've got one question.
Yes. Who is this?
I'm Kevin Webb. I live in Thailand. I'm a practicing Mahayana for 19 years.
Oh, why, Kevin.
Why do we use just a short breath, a three count?
Can you repeat that?
Why do we just count to three? It seems a very short breath.
For when I teach a broader audience, I want to make sure that the breath capacity isn't too exertive. Because one of the instructions or one of the safeguards for practice is to begin with a breath retention ratio, which you can maintain. And if we were practicing together, we want to see, can you do this for three breaths? Observe, engage the instructions, and then perhaps move to 10, 7 or 10. So it's a baseline, just for safety and comfort.
Because I normally do a 9.
That's fantastic. So with this practice, as long as you can safely work with one, we call it kala. So I'm using, there are many yoga practitioners here. So I'm going to use more Sanskrit. So kala. So you want to know the time, the rate, ratio, and also the vector of the breath. That's a little more extensive. But for you, if your measure is 9, and you feel like you can maintain that and observe the ends of the breath for 3 and then 10 without gasping, without grabbing the diaphragm at the end of the exhale, then that's great. And we won't be able to get into it in this short presentation. But yes, you want to work to cultivate the breath. So 9 is great, Kevin. Thank you. So if you're familiar with these body practices, they're called Neijung, purifying the locations. And they're safer, they're not the more advanced tantric practices, which we will introduce, discuss. The base or foundation is to allow all of us to acquaint with the medical theories that underlie these practices, basically the anatomy, physiology, and the subtle physiology. And so deceivingly simple, we call it Neijung, purifying the locations. I'm going to show you three vital points on the body and how to work with this internal breath retention, first as you massage, and then secondly, as you acquaint yourself with what are called the five winds or five vayus. They're called prana, apana, samana, vyana, and udana. They regulate physiological function and are closely, again, associated with autonomic nervous system regulation. So what we're beginning to do is learn to access the body in traditional medicine, become clear with the sensation of this vital breath moving through the body and through the channels, and also accessing these winds. So the ones I will show you, the movements or somatic practices, will be directly for building this interoceptive language. You want to be able to start to feel the movement of these vital energies through these movements. And then you can integrate visualization. And we speak about meaning, context, or embeddedness. You start to understand what are the vital organs, what are the channels. And in this way, you can start to learn at least the traditional medical body. And then that may be helpful in integrating with trauma theory. So let's begin. Upright posture. I'm going to step back. You let me know if you can hear me. And you don't have to cross your legs like this. So you take 7-point posture. Again, thumbs at the base of the ring finger, tops of fists, tops of thighs. And as you inhale, inhale through both nostrils, rooting that sensation below and behind the navel. And as you do, keeping the spine upright and the torso forward facing, you're going to take the edge of your left hand and find this mid-brow point. So we'll exhale again, and then you'll inhale, and you'll rub this mid-brow point. Let's do it gently first. And then exhale. The exhale is going to be short and slightly forceful, but in this introduction, I just want you to exhale gently. So inhale again. Begin to fill the low abdomen and bring your attention to the mid-brow point internally using the touch. As you rub 7, and at your own time, it'll be 21 on the mid-brow point. And exhale. Now, what you're beginning to do is connect the channel system internally up to the mid-brow point. The next point will be the crown, so you can locate it. Take your thumbs at the tops of the ears, and as the middle fingers touch, find the crown, and then take the posture again. You can be relaxed, legs don't have to be crossed, but as you inhale, feel the low abdomen and see if you can root that breath, the subtle essence of the breath, below and behind the navel, as you bring your left hand up and begin to massage the top of the crown 7 to 21 times as is comfortable. And mess up your morning hair, and then exhale. And take note of the sensation. Let's do that one more time. Inhale. Feel the low abdomen. Bring your left palm up. and start to rub the crown point until it's warm. 21 times. And then exhale again. Take note of the sensation. Now inhale, feel the low abdomen, interlace the fingers, and cupping the occiput as well as the neck, start to bring the base of the palms together as you massage the occipital region, the neck muscles, splenius capitis, and start to release tension in the neck. Exhale. You can bring your hands here, less formal. Interlace the fingers, inhale again, feel the low abdomen, massage the occiput, massage the neck, and exhale. Inhale, keeping your hands on your knees, breath filling the low abdomen, rotate the neck 7 times, counterclockwise. And 7 times the other way. Come back to center, exhale. Let me see if I can see more of you. Let's do a gallery view here. Okay. Next exercise. Take your upright posture. Inhale both nostrils. And like stringing a bow, you're going to trace as your right arm extends out over the chest, out over the lungs. This is a modified practice. Bring both hands in front, trace across the arm, come back again. One more time, and then we'll release the breath. And then release the breath, come back to seated. Let's do that one more time. Inhale, fill both nostrils below and behind the navel. Bring the hands up, trace as if you're stringing a bow. Come out in front, hands meet. Stretch and open the chest. Again, to the right, meeting in the center. To the left, bring the hands down and exhale. Again, with hands on the knees, we're going to rotate the abdomen more with the navel. Come 7 times clockwise. Great, Kevin. And 7 the other way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, I like to smile, and then exhale. Okay, so that is for the, we call Samanvayu, or in Tibetan, the fire accompanying wind. For the last one, we're going to make some variations. So what we've been going through are the movements that stimulate the 5 winds. Now the last, rooted in the pelvis, controls the thigh bones, excretion. We're going to work with two variations. If you're very flexible, then you can bring the legs up and extend out as a forward bend and come forward and then come back. So it's about unblocking the movement of this downward wind. So the foot would be up and out. And if that's not accessible, what I want you to do is bring your knees up, legs bent, and one at a time. Just extend one leg from side to side. And if that's challenging, one thing you'll understand about the channels, and more from the medical perspective, are the vital points. So we say that these autonomic winds govern the channels, and the channels relate to the structure of the body, structure and function. And you can just massage around the ankles, round rub the ankles, and that'll be enough, or massage the calves. So again, the ankles, round rub. And you're doing this as you get more facility with holding the breath, then you do this holding the breath, massaging from outside, and internally you are generating sensation down through these points and into the legs. So the last one, we're already at 6:37. Okay, I'm gonna go through any quick question. I thought it was more important. I have a very long presentation, but I thought better to teach you some methods, and we'll go through this PowerPoint. Any quick question?
Yeah, I felt dizzy with the neck rotation. Sorry, my camera's not working. It's giant.
No, that's perfect. Actually, so that came to mind also. So generally when I instruct, do three, do it without the internal holding of the breath, and only go 30% range of motion, because it's common for many of us to have some cervical issue. So thank you, and that's common. So to do it safely to begin, you may just want to begin with three rotations.
Okay, and can you just show me the 30%, the full rotation, but just three times?
You know, I have some friends, I'll say, or students, and I just say like this. And that may, and keep the eyes open. And okay, if that's not accessible, there's another one, and you're just doing flexion and extension. So the three movements related to the neck are rotation, rotation. I'll share with you a resource at the end where you can learn them. I also have a training coming up, but there's online resources and books. And so always go only 30% as you're acclimating to a practice.
Okay, thank you.
Now, thank you so much. So since time is short, and I have a very serious presentation, let's just go through some key points for those of you who are researchers or clinicians. And let's see, do we have, let's share this screen. Let me ask, are any of you involved with research or are clinicians or working with trauma care, trauma healing with your clients or yoga students? Okay, so I have 10 minutes to go through this presentation. And I just want to say this intersection of trauma healing and Tibetan yoga arose through a multi-year research project that I've been engaged in, interviewing, training with clinicians, traditional medical doctors, yogis, lifelong contemplatives, to learn how clinicians deal with trauma, mental health, and also how doctors self-cultivate in Chinese, Tibetan, Indian medicine. The focus is really about understanding trauma's impact on our lives and holding this and transforming this experience of suffering and trauma. And I like the term stewardship, not in terms of only vicarious trauma, but how do we build a community network of support for ourselves as caregivers or care providers or as educators? And when we bring a traditional mind-body discipline into healthcare or as a provider, there has to be a process of integration. And the easiest way is to begin to learn these disciplines ourselves and embody them. Now, we look to adopt and adapt these practices for ourselves or others or for trauma healing, but there's an indigenous context of knowledge from which they've emerged, and understanding them and having a relationship is, to me, it's essential, because a lot gets lost in translation, whether it's mindfulness, focused attention, meditation, such great work. We had Christine Neff here teaching on self-compassion in this conference. So many great researchers. My doctoral research also involved literature review, looking at all the mindfulness-based and compassion-focused interventions in psychotherapy, for instance. And for myself, having a background as a monastic or as a doctor, living in Asia, training abroad, and maintaining connections with these traditions, we do see that many constructs get lost, or understanding about how to apply these in a variety of contexts. I would say traditional medicine, yoga, and mind-body practice are rooted or embedded in cultures, and it's very helpful and very important to establish these connections. So for instance, I had a senior practitioner kindly about 2 days ago lend me these photos for the PowerPoint, and they have been published once before. But as I received them, I recall just being my heart dropping. And the reason being is, here's Dr. Herbert Benson at Harvard, who has studied and spoken about the relaxation response. And to his left is a traditional yogin, highly accomplished Tibetan yogi. But if you look closely, we find that it was actually my first teacher's primary mentor. And I recalled asking my teacher stories about his tutelage, or just about this Tibetan yogi. And I remember the seriousness, the effective space, the level of respect and care that was there. And I was just stopped in my tracks. And I'll never forget that. So when I received these images, there was such a there was a strong memory about how seriously we regard these practices, especially the advanced practices, for which here the Dalai Lama asked about a group of adept yogins to undergo scientific research. And this was for one of the advanced practices called Tummo. And here again, we have Herbert Benson with, his name is Nakpa Khunzang Dorje, great Tibetan yogi of the last century. And the main point is, there are neuroscientific perspectives. We can undergo physiological research to understand the efficacy of these practices. But there's also what's called the emic perspective, the practitioner's point of view. And I think establishing these relationships, rather than just interventions adopted, they're a way of life, a practice. And so much knowledge is there regarding how to practice and how to progress and safeguard one, especially if you're going to integrate it for trauma care. Now, there are many faces of trauma. If you get this PowerPoint later, you'll see that trauma was defined many ways by the esteemed panelists. And you saw Dan Siegel and others. We've had Stephen Porges, so many great presenters here, and they have a different perspective on trauma and how to treat it. One is looking at autonomic nervous system regulation. There have been presentations on polyvagal theory, so we won't go into that, but it's a major body of research that's informing yoga therapy as well as psychotherapeutic interventions. And what's important in the latest advances in psychotherapy and trauma healing is that we focus on the body, bottom-up regulation. So Tibetan yoga's somatic practices, as I'm trying to share, can benefit when embodied, when well understood. And there's more than just these bottom-up processes of trauma healing. there's narrativity and integration, and looking at the role of spirituality in healthcare. So understanding this embeddedness, we look to traditional Asian medicine. So for this slide, we're looking at a quick snapshot of one passage from the third treatise or medical tantra in Tibetan medicine. And here I've seen some research looking at PTSD and operationalizing trauma in terms of a wind imbalance. And my literature research examines Ayurvedic and Chinese presentations, somatic presentations of trauma. And we know there's not a cultural equivalent, but we do recognize similar symptomatology, anxiety, we can say dysregulation of the nervous system. And one of the strong points of Asian medicine is that there are lifestyle and behavioral guidelines for the treatment of trauma and a way of understanding this mind-body connection. One of the main topics in trauma healing is resilience, psychological resilience related to narrativity as well, meaning how we understand our traumatic histories and work with trauma itself. And then again, in Asian medicine, in my latest book, which this begins to, this framework is utilized, I speak about physiological resilience in terms of, I use this term, wind, channels, and essences. So nourishing the essence of the body is essential because the effect of trauma on the nervous system is that it can deplete the body's vital essence. So I'm advocating for a trauma-informed Dharma practice or yoga, if you're a Buddhist practitioner. Neuroscience and physiological research are two areas where the intersection can establish an inroad to these conversations. But I'm also very sensitive to hierarchies, social justice issues. So when I teach, for example, it's important to have a peer community and to create an environment of safety and also to listen to stories. That's the basis of qualitative research. We have a few minutes left, and what I wanted to share with you was a little bit about Tibetan yoga. So the practices that we engaged in are called Nejung, and they fit within this broader category of Lujung called body purification. So these are preliminary foundational practices for engaging the body in Tibetan Buddhist practice, and they're more advanced. It's really important you adopt one method, meditation, mindfulness. We're looking at mantra or sound for polyvagal or resonance regulation. But we want to understand how these practices work. So in Tibetan Buddhism or Vajrayana, we have these tiers of bodily practices, mainly I'll discuss, the last of which is Salung or Chulkor. And these are the more advanced bodily practices which are gaining attention. You could look at a book by Dr. Ian Baker called Tibetan Yoga Principles and Practices. And generally these are more, require more foundational practice, ethics, purification. Some of the practices I taught you in the beginning generally aren't taught to the public, but they are in this Nejung format. And they form the basis because you want to stabilize the nervous system prior to working with the deeper recesses of the mind or the unconscious. So now we're moving beyond the relaxation response and initial phases of mindfulness research, and we're beginning to understand a little bit about how these advanced meditation practices are understood through fMRI or neuroscience research. And so it's not just about relaxation, but it's understanding the full spectrum of practices in these traditions and how they might help us heal, self-regulate, integrate. It's by understanding the whole tradition. our time is short. I have about 4 minutes. But what's important and the takeaway of this short presentation is that as a clinician or as a practitioner, the most important understanding is the connection between mind and energy. And all of these practices, especially the somatic practices, have many methods and disciplines which will take you deeper and deeper into understanding the mind-body connection. So if you're working with trauma or traumatic affect, this is the prospect. When we look at the dangers of these meditation practices and understanding that first, so my next body of research is really to look at the upsides and downsides of these practices, because they're, to me, even more impactful on the nervous system than mindfulness. And we have to go through that phase and be honest about what can be applied. And the emic perspective or practitioner perspectives allow us into that world of safeguarding and protection. We won't go into embodiment in Tantra, traditional Tantra, but we begin to understand that the body, the energy, and mind reflect the spectrum of embodiment, and these practices engage these three levels to bring out our potential or human flourishing. So, lastly, these practices, for instance, encourage embodied skills and resources for trauma healing, and they have to be applied to basic things such as discharge of autonomic hyperarousal, or stabilization, grounding, purification, and affect regulation. So all of these practices have something to share for those who perhaps understand them through years of dedicated practice and research. The last slides give us an overview. So we have 1 minute left. If you can, you can do this seated and just do this, shake this presentation off. Inhale. This is done standing. As you exhale, just shake the limbs. Shake the limbs. Inhale again. Perfect. Oh no. And shake and exhale. And lastly, we have probably 30 seconds left. So let's clap the hands, massage the palms, massage the face. 1, 2, 3. Top of the head, shoulders, back, and we'll cut it short, just the arms. And exhale and take that in. And don't forget the essential point of all of these bodily practices is not to control or mastery. It's about developing wisdom and compassion. Thank you so much. And I'll turn it over to the hosts.
Oh, wow. Thank you so, so much, James, for your beautiful presence and this such a rich presentation on so many different levels. Thank you so much. So there was a lot of interest from everyone. So please let us know where we can find more about you and your work.
Sure, I'll type my website here in the chat. You'll find it in the updated slide. But if you feel like you have an interest in trauma-informed Tibetan yoga, or specifically this set, the bibliography, you'll get a list of a book that has all these exercises, but I also have a training you can also follow up with me in December, I believe. So send me an email, come to my website, and just stay in touch. I'd love to meet you. So thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Sylvia.
Wonderful. Thank you. very much. I'm going to give a couple of final announcements, and then I would like to come back to you for one last tip before we say goodbye.
Yes.
So I would like to invite you all, if you want to share your insights and experience, to connect with each other in the coffee break rooms that are a nice moment to connect to each other. And I would also like to invite you, if you haven't done it yet, to get a hold of all this goodness that is coming to us through the conference, thanks to incredible presenters like James that share their knowledge with us. And you can do that, you can upgrade by going to theembodimentconference.org/upgrade. And I don't have to forget to tell you that this is a good moment to do so, as you can get it half price until the conference is running. And then after that, it will go double price. But if you're working in the trauma sector, please contact us, because there are special discounts and some things very interesting for you if you're working with trauma. So that's all for me. And I would like to ask you, James, for one last advice, your top tip to stay embodied.
Yes, I want to thank the Embodiment Conference and all of you. This has been amazing. My one tip is for those of you who are working in the area of trauma, find practices that really teach this connection between the mind and the energy. And it's so vital to autonomic regulation, and many of you are yoga practitioners. Let's bring this understanding of the subtle body into integrative methodology. So this mind and energy connection. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much. I am so, so happy I got to be here with you for your presentation. Thank you very much to all of you that joined. And thank you. I'm so grateful right now. I'm getting lost in my speech. I wish you all a wonderful day. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sylvia.
Thank you, Chris.